following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Get away from me, and welcome everyone to the MPW Backyard!
It's here in MBW to stay.
We don't want you.
We don't want your pink
eye. I made the MBW.
We don't want you.
I'm going to tear down
eye.
The MBW. I didn't have a reason to wrestle at the last card, and you know why?
Why?
There isn't any reason for me to wrestle. I've done it all. But you know what? I got a new goal. I have a 5-year program, but it's only going to take me one card.
He's got a program.
At the next card, I will be the MBW champion, and at the next card, I'm taking the MBW, and I'm throwing it where it goddamn belongs, in the trash can. MBW sucks. I'm taking it to the junkyard. I lost to a fat bastard because the maniac didn't have the foresight to kick him in the back of the head to save me. But it's all over, because I'm going all the way to the top, and I'm taking it down, and I'm tearing it down, and we're going to the bottom, and I'm throwing the MBW in the trash, because that's where it belongs.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast land. Hoota, hoota, hoota. You're talking to the one and only, the Ginzo Supreme, Johnny Scumbani.
And you're talking to the perfect one, the young, handsome one. You're talking to the kid, better known as Kid Perfect, better known as the innovator, and I don't know, something else.
Handsome Dave Mallory, maybe?
I thought it was funny that I said the innovator and then couldn't come up with anything else to say.
Well, because you innovated everything else. That's the way I see things.
Well, that's true.
We are here tonight to talk to you about an organization that we took pride in being part of for many years and many a backyards, MBW, Masochist Backyard Wrestling.
And not only backyards, but basements and concrete floors.
Ugh.
And living rooms and... it's pretty much anywhere you could throw a human being to. We didn't even need clearance for the ceiling. There was a lot of stucco scratches in the back of people's heads.
Now let's, yeah, all right. You mentioned scratches in the back of people's heads. What to you was your, like, what the fuck moment? Like, the biggest moment? Because I got a bunch of them in my head, but I want to know what you think, like, was the most shocking, the most holy shit moment to you out of the entire...
Out of the entire backyard wrestling?
Yes, of course.
That no one got really hurt.
That's your surprise?
Well, looking back, yeah. Anthony powerbombed me.
No, I think your surprise moment, what you're not thinking of, is when Kirk bladed.
Oh, well, yes.
Oh, like your jaw came off of your face like the fucking like Alec Baldwin in Beetlejuice.
No, I mean... people have bled before, though. Like, it wasn't the first time someone got busted open.
Oh, like Randy trying to slice Jabu open with a box cutter?
No, when Jesse hit Bowman, Shining Wizards Matt, with the
You mean the Maniac.
Oh, yes, the Maniac. I'm sorry. We're going to kayfabe the whole thing?
Yes, we are. Kayfabe.
How many of us actually went on to wrestle in a real independent wrestling ring?
Well, actually, I wrestled in a ring before I started doing backyard stuff with you guys.
So
I was already
regressed.
Training. Johnny Scumbani, that is.
Yes.
As Johnny. My alter ego, the experiment. But Grandmaster B, who tried to hide it, but everybody, I think, kind of knew. The redheaded stepchild, if we're going to kayfabe it. Who else? Anthony, of Maniac 2.
Yoshimitsu. But he never, yeah, he did. It was Basketball.
He worked the tag team title match for Stars and Stripes Championship Wrestling at Basketball 98, where a very young experiment took on the Young Dragon.
Now, the Young Dragon never wrestled in MBW, but...
Young Dragon never wrestled in MBW.
Deadly Fred went on to wrestle for Geno.
That's what I had heard, and I heard that the Puerto Rican kid, too, I forget what his name was, Blaze?
I don't remember.
He also went on.
Is he not the same guy?
No, Deadly Fred was one of those two Asian guys that came in.
It was Blaze.
It was goddamn Johnny Wang, and Deadly Fred never came back, so he never got a real name.
We walked into Gino's, and he came out. We didn't know he was wrestling. We didn't know he was working for him. He came out and tried to do like some kind of moonsault, and busted his leg up, or was it his shoulder? I got a bad memory. But the only time we saw him wrestle in a ring, he fucking hurt himself.
That's pretty hilarious.
Which is probably karma for the time that he busted Scotty's foot in half.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was him that gave Scotty Big Scotty C the pedigree.
Because you're a kid and you want to emulate your heroes, so you do like you just repeat it. That's how we all got into it. We just wanted to, you know, do what we saw on TV.
The kid had a super kick, by the way.
I did have a super kick.
I think I ate that a few times.
My finisher that I really liked was the pump handle power bomb because I could easily do it to pretty much anyone.
I took that, so that's that's the case.
But back to Scotty getting his foot busted.
Big Scotty C from the One Move Wonders, whose tag team partner was the Wedge.
Kayfabe. The Wedge.
The Wedge.
The Jersey Turnpike Joe Bowman.
Yes.
So it's not like you really practiced anything. You just assumed that the other person knew what you were going to do and knew how to take it. And it was a pedigree. It was the easiest move in the world.
Chaos could give people a pedigree and they would take it. But for some reason, Scotty decided to put his right foot under him?
Yeah, if you were going to fall down, wouldn't you, if you were bent over and you're going to fall down, wouldn't you fall down flat and not try to sit down? And it was the dumbest thing ever.
Like, we didn't have a ring, but there were like mattresses that we landed on, so there was a cushion. There was no reason not to just take the fall.
Well, when you started wrestling with whoever, did you wrestle in a basement? It wasn't with us. The first time you wrestled, you wrestled in a ring.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had the mock Ace Wrestling Federation with about 300 wrestlers, and me and my brother would horse around in the basement. We wouldn't really wrestle like MBW wrestle, but you know, our big notoriety was we'd take the fat guys on the roster and stuff pillows under our shirts and just belly flop each other for 20 minutes.
So you were two guys, but you had a whole stable of wrestlers.
Yeah, like my brother had the Rad Dudes. It was the Rock and Roller, which was the R. The Amazon, which was the A, and D for Hillbilly Johnny D. There was a redneck, an Amazonian, and a rock and roller. And my biggest star was the Ninja. He was the world champion. He came out with the Ricky Steamboat headband on and a black gi. It was hysterical.
I was, oh God, how many people was I? The Elephant Hunter from Africa, Nigeria, or
that's
Nigeria,
awesome.
Africa.
I think my favorite character, my friend Mike made it up, was Gorilla Gandhi. He was Gorilla Monsoon, but he was Indian.
I thought he was like a pacifist, but he was like really big. Like you just go in the middle of the ring and sit down.
It was great. We had the Fat Brothers, Lardo and Nardo. We had Tubba Bubba, who was 673 pounds from Carson City, Nevada. I don't know why. I used to look at a globe and just pick city names.
Carson City is out there.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Not as out there as Nigeria.
Dude, it was hilarious.
Chubbs was
5'7", but he was only 350 pounds. He came out to eat it by Weird Al. He used to come to the ring with a bag of potato chips.
We were videotaping it from the beginning.
Okay, now when you guys started, are you talking like the Jersey Wrestling Alliance?
Yeah, was, JWA.
Okay, the JWA.
Which we wrestled in my basement, and Eddie had a double camera. Not Eddie, Chris Flame.
Chris Flame.
The fucking kayfabe. And he was always Chris Flame. He was always the Jersey Jackhammer.
Well, no, because he was Luscious Lance Sandler for a while.
He toyed with a couple things.
wasn't he just insane? Part of the Applebee's World Order? I thought he changed his gimmick at one point.
No, I thought he was Chris Flame during the Applebee's World Order.
Yeah, but he was just insane at one point. I remember an interview him doing that. He's like, I'm just insane.
That's ironic now that he's friends with PJ.
Pretty weird how that works out.
So Eddie had the double camera set up, and he would have to clap to synchronize the cameras. So there's always this footage of Eddie in like some graduation robe or like Zubaz pants just clapping like a retard. Like, all right, go. And, oh, God. Yeah, why would we take power bombs on a concrete floor is what I want to know.
You had a two-camera shoot in a basement as kids. Like, how old were you when you started doing that?
Well, probably 11.
That's crazy how he would know to do that.
Yeah, who gets their kid, like, a video camera for
Well, don't forget, in the 50s and 60s, they were buying fucking chemistry sets that had, like, real, like, toxic chemicals in them. So, it doesn't surprise me. But
We started at the concrete floor, and then we decided that Well, let's put a blanket down over the carpet. And
yeah, that'll
work.
Us. Why not?
Yeah. Now you just get rug burn and fucking quilt burn, if that's a thing.
So who's part of that group? It was the kid.
It was me, my brother, Sarge
Brian Cobb. I love that he uses his real name for the gimmick. That's great.
It would confuse him less if we started calling him by another name and he didn't react.
So then there was Maniac.
Well, no, there was my friend John Michaels, and he was Titan because he was like probably 6'2 and 300 pounds in high school.
Okay, I remember footage of him, yeah.
And he would give everyone a tombstone pile driver, which is
on the concrete.
Yeah, on the concrete. I just want to keep going back to the idea that concrete was a great idea. And then we started pulling mattresses from downstairs, but they weren't like good mattresses. They were like farted out, like there was nothing in the mattresses. And then we wrestled in Eddie's backyard. We would wrestle in my front yard a lot too.
I don't know if I was ever around for that.
The front yard was weird because my street was a busy street for foot traffic.
Yeah.
And we would videotape that too. But like, why? I don't like, where does that come from?
You know why? Because when you're kids, it's kind of like football or baseball. Like, we used to play football in the front yard. Like, dude, when I lived in Rutherford, the front of our house had like, it was like maybe a 6-foot drop from where like the front lawn was right outside my house down to the street. And it was all ivy and the top was sticker bushes. We would fucking play King of the Mountain in snowstorms, trying to climb over the sticker bushes and throwing each other down the ivy. Because you're fucking kids, man. You just find something to do and you fucking do it.
So then we went to Eddie's backyard, which had a fence. And the thing with backyard wrestling was there's never any ropes.
Yeah, of course not.
So you had to, if you got like thrown into the ropes, you had to bounce back.
Yeah.
So there was a wooden fence in my front yard, which was ropes. There was a chain link fence in Eddie's backyard, which was ropes. And then whenever we got down to the basement, it was just a, you know, wainscoting that you bounced off of.
My brother and I used to tie ropes. We had two support beams in the basement, and we used to tie ropes in between them. And I even put a tag rope at one point, and then I was like, well, this is fucking stupid. Who's tagging who? But, you know, you saw tag ropes on TV, so you wanted to be like on TV. But, dude, like, you would take one or two hits, and the ropes would immediately sag because they couldn't hold tension. They just stretched.
I think we tried playing with bungee cords at one point. But even bungee cords, like, you couldn't put your weight on them. You still had to pretend because they would just, they're not snapping you back.
It was more aesthetics than it was anything.
Right. Aesthetics in a in the basement.
With a two-camera shoot.
Yeah, with a two. We had an announcers. We had a ref. And then Matt and Jesse came in. Oh, I'm sorry. Maniac and the Crippler Bob Bowman.
Crippler Bob Bowman, that's right.
Because Crippler Jesse Bowman just wouldn't work. He had to change his first name.
Well, Bob Bowman, you know. Slips off the tongue. Bob Bowman.
We had bunk beds in my basement when we were wrestling at the time, too.
Oh, no.
So we would climb the bunk beds and jump off.
Of course you would.
Onto a concrete floor.
Onto a concrete
with a quilt.
I think that's the name of the episode.
The concrete floor?
Onto a concrete floor.
And then at some point, Matt was like, oh, you know, I have my basement. We can do it in my basement. So we started doing it, you know, at what became the dungeon. It was our ECW arena. But it was still JWA. Like, Eddie had, like, his sister dub over. Like, she was the commissioner, and she did, like, voice work on the edited tapes.
Wait, his sister did this?
Yeah.
Eddie's sister.
Yeah.
Remember that's all we called her for, like, 10 years? Eddie's
Ed's sister?
Ed's sister.
I might have called her a couple other things, but.
Well, hi-yo.
And it was about that time we started going to indie shows.
Okay. What year was this around? Do you have a ballpark?
I don't know.
Well, I want to get an idea which indie shows you were going to. I would imagine.
Well, it was one of the first ones we went to was the one you guys were at.
Basketball?
No. The one where you were on the other side of the venue. We hadn't met yet.
Which also happened to have Gino Caruso involved, and I think it was supposed to be an East Coast Pro Wrestling show. It was a convention at the Holiday Inn in Totowa. And it was like, you know, it was the, like a Legends of the Ring kind of thing. I think Tommy Fierro actually ran that one. And the card later that day was supposed to be up at Gino Caruso's school in Lake Hiawatha. Well, apparently Gino was fighting with the Savoldis at the time, and they called the fire chief. I don't know. From what I understand, the fire chief was called. They weren't allowed to have the show there. So that's why they had it in one of the fucking conference rooms.
So they took it from a perfectly viable venue and put it in a low ceiling
conference room
in a Holiday Inn
where Twiggy Ramirez tried to powerbomb someone and they took out the lights. Like, and I'm not talking like a hanging chandelier. I'm talking like recessed lights in a drop ceiling.
Went right up into it. If he was half a foot either way, he would have missed completely.
Yeah.
But it was like the perfect spot.
Yeah, so that show, Dennis and I, I'm sorry, FFB, KFA.
I'm sorry, KFA.
FFB and I went to that show, and you guys...
Heavy traffic.
Yes. what was it, Roadblock? No, yeah, Roadblock and, shit, I can't remember, what was it, Roadblock and Rubberneck, something like that. It was like Roadblock and Rubberneck, some shit like that. Oh, God, Heavy Traffic took on the tag team champions of Maniac and Maniac 2.
And then Anthony, I'm sorry, Maniac 2 Yoshimitsu started coming into the fold, and that's where we hooked up with you guys.
We hooked up because when I started training up at Geno's,
what the fuck did Grandmaster B wrestle under?
Redhead Stepchild.
Redhead Stepchild.
I started training at Geno's, and that's where I met Vintage, a.k.a. Yoshimitsu, Maniac 2, and Grandmaster B, a.k.a. Redheaded Stepchild from the MBW. And that was when...
It wasn't MBW then. That was still JWA.
Yeah. But that was when he was like, you know, hey, you know, we do this backyard wrestling, come down, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I had just started real wrestling, and I was like, oh, my God, backyard wrestling. I heard people get killed doing this stuff.
But you were doing it.
No, like... No, I was wrestling in my basement, like, pretend.
It's the same thing.
You guys were taking pile drivers on the concrete floor when my brother and I were stuffing each other with pillows and splashing each other for 20 minutes. I guess it's kind of the same. It was just on a different level. So that's how I got to know you guys. That was 98. That was, like, that was the summer of 98 where the JWA was actually switching over to MBW.
Right.
After a botched JWF takeover a la NWO. See, that's the weird thing about MBW. We just really emulated every fucking thing that was on TV.
We did, but we didn't do it with the characters.
Oh, yeah, all of our characters were fairly
original. They were pretty original. Yeah. We might have, like, Matt modeled his outfit after Sabu at some point.
Yes.
Maniac.
Yes.
But he didn't act like him.
Well, he would try to do the trip.
Well, there were moves that he tried to do. I didn't pick any one person to model after, even though my name was based off of Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, but I was Johnny Scumbani. I was just an obnoxious fat Italian Ginzo.
Right. Like, even like some things that ended up turning up in real wrestling, like MVP ended up in real wrestling, but that started with Vintage putting on a hockey mat or a baseball cap
and being MVP.
MVP.
But no, you're thinking of Abe Knuckleball Schwartz or that MVP, not Montel Vontavious Porter, the ball and MVP.
And I was talking about Pi, like, I wasn't trying to be The Rock and be the kid. Like, the names were similar, as you refer to yourself in third person. Like, the interview style was similar, but other than that, there had nothing to do with anything that was going, like, the weapons, the style of it, like, was very ECW.
And I started doing the Scumbani driver long before it was The Rock Bottom. I don't know how that all came about. I must have seen it in a Japanese video game or something. Speaking of which, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about our buddy JT Scuggs. The band player, the guy who literally emulated everything in a Japanese video game.
Yes.
Submissions and moves included.
And the bleach blonde hair.
Yes. I am the tyrant.
Tyrant JT Scuggs.
Tyrant. Oh, what a great montage. Which Giants jersey was he wearing?
Number 17. Was it Dave Brown?
Was it Brown? Yeah, I think it was Dave Brown.
But, like, that's another thing, like, the outfits we had.
Yes.
Like, no thought put into it until all of a sudden everyone was, like...
Actually, I had two outfits that I ran with for a long time. I had the orange champion cutoff shirt, which I wore with black sweats and black sneakers, or I had my alternate outfit, which was a black sleeveless T-shirt with wine-colored sweats and the black socks.
And you definitely coordinated that.
I did.
Like, that were your, those were your two outfits.
Those were my outfits. I wore either one of those whenever I did a show.
But then Matt started wearing the same thing over and over again with the cutoff tees. And then I started doing my shirts which I would take hours drawing like letters and like messages on them. And then there was like the TWO shirts.
Yeah, we all like kind of wanted to keep it the same because that's what you saw on TV. Those guys all wore the same shit every time they wrestled. So we wanted that to be part of our characters.
And then we had referees for every match.
Of course.
It was always the same.
It was always one of us under a mask.
Right. But who came up with, like, the mask was a brilliant idea. That was just, like, there was a bag of props that we just went into every show.
I brought that purple mask that I bought at Hot Topic when Hot Topic was still selling, like, quasi-real wrestling masks, which I think we used that inside out for Heavy Traffic. We used that for some of the referees. You guys had the Fan Man mask, as somebody would be Fan Man every once in a while.
It's usually Jamie.
Yes.
Or JT Scuggs.
Usually JT Scuggs, but... what else did we... Oh, we had the pullover mask that was one of Revelation's first masks. Like the black, like... What was it? Like, what the fuck's that movie? No, it wasn't
Scream?
It wasn't like Scream. No, it was a black, like, pantyhose kind of mask, but it had, like, the purple brim.
Oh, I thought that was the mask you were talking about before.
Well, no, Revelation's used that, but then we had the glitter mask with the silver face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Luchador mask.
That's the one that Revelation's actually wound up using.
Yes.
Later on. Well, Revelation started out as a pretty serious character in the JWA, and then he was the jobber champion in the MVW.
What it started as was we didn't have, like, Luchador masks, because wrestling wasn't that popular when we were doing it. You didn't have access to, like, these belts you have now,
yeah,
or the Luchador mask you have now, like, wrestling gear, like, pads and stuff.
But when the wrestling mask became available, I bought a shit ton of them. I bought the Super Cologne mask. I bought that purple mask. There was a ton of them that I bought.
But I think Exodus and Revelations would have looked different had we had the access to it. Imagine wrestling under that fucking... It was a knit cap.
Yeah.
It was like you would rob a liquor store with.
Yeah. Well, remember in the wintertime we used to wrestle, I used to wear that blue, like, knit blue cap?
Yeah.
The condom.
And at one point it just disappeared. We were watching a video like, where'd the hat go? Where'd the hat go? Just rewind it.
I threw a drop kick in that match.
Oh, my God.
You hear Vintage just cracking up in the background. Hey, I had a pretty decent drop kick. I preferred the standing drop kick over the running drop kick.
We had crowds with chants.
We had crowds.
We had announcers.
When we had the tag title tournament, we had a huge crowd that day. We had 16 guys or 20 guys actually wrestling, and we had a crowd of people.
And that juiced you. That, like, got you up for it,
too. It was fun, man. That day was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had the karaoke machine.
Yes.
Where
so you could do announcing.
So JR could be on.
JR, I forgot about that with the hat and everything. Oh, my God. We were awful.
It was terrible.
That's terrible. I'm sorry.
But we used to be real serious about it. Like, we would have, like...
Okay.
When you collected G.I. Joes, they had the file on the back, the card. And me and Matt were like, we need something like that so that we can keep track of gimmicks and wrestlers. And we'll have everyone write down their name and, like, their weight. Like, Matt had index cards.
For that tag tournament, we did. We absolutely had index cards.
So you could announce the, you know, and everyone's music was queued up and... You know, I remember having to wait for, where is this fucking kid? Oh, they're putting his music together. Oh, okay. And just stand there. And then Eddie would just usually take the gap out.
You know what I really enjoyed? When we started doing the MBW brawl at every show.
Yeah. Like,
two guys would just be having a match and start fighting. And then a third person would jump in. And a fourth. And then next thing you know, all 20 people at the show are just beating the hell out of each other. And then we start eliminating each other by, you know, pinning each other one after another. And just one person would be left.
That conga line headlock was one of the funniest things ever.
That was the good stuff, man. That was a lot of fun.
What was your favorite person to wrestle?
Favorite person? I liked wrestling Chris Flame. Chris Flame and I could always just jump in there and, like, you know, 10 minutes and go. Like, I think some of the better stuff. You know who I regret not wrestling? I wanted to wrestle Biff Marks. Biff Triple X. I really did. I really thought he could have, like, been bigger than just wrestling with, like... Actually, his match with Scotty was the fucking, I think, the best match ever.
Wasn't it real?
No, it was
they want to beat the shit out of each other?
Yeah, it was like, kick out. Remember we just... Yeah. We yelled at them for 20 minutes. Kick out. I mean, spinning power bombs and everything. Scotty, kick out. These guys kicked out for 20. It was literally what you would see on Ring of Honor these days. Guys just kicking out of everything, but we just loved it. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
We were laughing.
Because we didn't know how to put matches together. There was no story to the match.
Really
it was headlock, you know, backbreaker, I think ankle lock.
The only story really that I really remember was when I was quitting and FN.
Oh, no, no. there were angles, but I'm talking about like in-ring psychology, like chain, like calling spots and. Like, no, half the time, I didn't know what was being done to me when it was being done. I just sold.
I tried calling spots with a quadro, and I remember you were in particular. This is the first time I was wrestling that, and you in particular were mocking me. You're like, what is he doing calling spots? I said, well, I guess that's out the window.
we were very unaccepting of the professional independent wrestler.
There were some big-time moves, too, where I thought people were going to die. Like the time that you and Vintage threw the heavy bag at me. Although Vintage threw the heavy bag at me.
You were sitting down.
You were holding my arms.
So?
That actually made the intro to the show.
Yeah. It busted open on that one, right?
Dailymotion.com. The intro. Oh, no. It's on YouTube, actually.
Yeah. YouTube. You have to YouTube you, though, because MBW it's like
YouTube,
won't turn up.
Yeah, it's like YouTube Papa Squat. No, it's MBW intro. Just YouTube MBW. It should pop up. Yeah, there's some good stuff on there. You know, I liked, what's his name? Fallen Angel. Used to do.
I liked wrestling Fallen Angel.
The spinning clothesline.
Yeah.
When he used to do like the flip, that was awesome.
We had a great, was it a three-way dance?
I hated wrestling Jamie. I'm sorry, JT Scuggs.
Oh, because he would just try shit.
Just fucking just put you in a move.
You're not putting me in a fucking suplex? What are you talking about?
I would be on the ground and I just feel him trying to like manipulate my legs. I'm like, somebody help me.
Oh, yeah, because he would study Japanese wrestling submission holds. Just do them.
Do you remember when we gave him. He actually won all the belts. Like he was like the Verona champion, the West Orange champion, and the world champion. And then fucking Kirk lit his Star Wars figure on fire.
Yes. Here's the thing. Everything that happened at MBW, I was behind. Because it was like the Monday Night Wars. Like we wanted to shock everyone. We wanted to like pull a swerve on everyone. We didn't want anyone to see it coming. And I'm amazed that like the secrets we kept were kept. Like
I know quite a few.
Yeah. Well the whole Eddie thing.
Eddie?
Where I hid under a bed. I refused to wrestle. Like it was a work shoot. I'm not wrestling. I hate Eddie. Eddie's an asshole for one reason or another. And he showed up
Chris
at Matt's.
Flame.
Chris Flame. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Kayfabe.
So the title of the episode should be Concrete Kayfabe. So I hid under a bed, and everyone like, yeah, no, Pat's not showing up. He hates you, Eddie. He hates you. Can't stand you.
Oh, no.
And then it was probably one of the best cards that there ever was, because I didn't see the whole thing, of course. I missed everything. You missed it. So I come running down.
You know where that came from, right?
No.
All right. Tell your story.
So I come running down with the bullhorn, and you know, on cue, just burst through the bushes. And Eddie's face looked like when Kirk bladed, and my face. Like he was in complete shock.
That's hilarious.
And it totally worked because everyone kept their mouth shut. But then like the whole Kirk thing, like burning the figure, like I went and bought an action figure and we were going to pre-record it.
Jamie really lost his shit.
Oh yeah, he really thought, we held him down. He was really struggling.
Yes.
Oh
well,
yeah.
I believe it.
That, changing the name to MBW, Anthony coming back in the, or I'm sorry, Vintage Kayfabe.
That,
coming
back with the suit. The Anti-Guido speech.
Anti-Guido,
that was the one week I wasn't there. That was perfect planning.
Yeah. But everything that happened in MBW, like behind the scenes.
And it's apropos because they do this shit a lot nowadays. Like Matt, Maniac, came out and he goes, I'm going to start this anti-Guido movement now and I'm going to beat up that redhead stepchild. And he fucking lost.
Yeah.
Actually,
we booked just like WWE.
I wasn't there, but apparently it was all Matt on the fly when he was taking on Randy defending the MBW championship. And he's like, fuck this, Randy. He's like, Randy, you're winning. And Randy went over and everybody went nuts. I tried the same thing with Jesse Ryker and FFB and it didn't work out so well.
Yeah, there was no rhyme or reason to who won a title or who.
No.
Like, it was just like, you want to win?
Yeah, like, I walked in. I'm like, let's have a tournament and I could beat Matt in the finals. And everybody's like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, sure.
I was like, okay. I think, though, you mentioned that we put a lot of effort into it and nothing. And we talked about this before on the show. Nothing beat our meeting at the Bomber Squad restaurant.
Oh, God, yes.
We had a meeting to talk about the future of MBW. And Pat, I'm sorry, Kid, said to me, yeah, it's a nice place. It's like a diner, but it's in like this old hangar with all these planes and everything. Yeah, okay.
It used to be.
I think I wound up spending like $45 and all these guys got were like chicken tenders. It was like $9 for chicken tenders. It was the cheapest thing on the menu.
It wasn't even chicken tenders. It was like a quarter chicken with like heirloom potatoes and fucking baby carrots.
Oh my God. I actually like wrestling you. Like, I think we had some solid stuff together, except for when Matt didn't kick me off of you.
Well, do you remember our team?
Oh, championship material.
Which was another swerve.
Yes.
That was another keep a secret.
And what else? Oh, the tag team title match with, whatchamacallit? It was the Maniacs. Maniac 1 and Maniac 2, Yoshimitsu. They were the tag champs. And I got to pick my secret partner. And you and Kirk, the Angry Viking, were teammates. And I announced who my secret partner was, and it was Kirk. And then you were like, oh, Jesse, you want to be my partner? So then they're all standing off, and the four of us line up, and you go, you're not leaving with the belts. And we just 4-on-2 beat the shit out of them. And Matt's going, I'm sorry, Maniac's going, this is fucked up. This ain't right.
Yep.
What the fuck?
No one ever got me.
Okay, so what was I saying? You missed it. That was the match that I had with FFB where we took it all the way out. Remember Adam's Backyard had that second level and then the bushes? Adam's Backyard didn't have a house behind it. Like past the bushes at the end of his yard was another street. So FFB and I, we went up the hill and we went through those bushes and we went out into the street behind Adam's house.
Oh, yeah, and they weren't videotaping. They couldn't get the camera up there.
They couldn't get the camera.
Well, it was probably plugged in. It wasn't on the battery.
So I threw FFB into the car, and I dragged him from the back seat through the trunk, and then I body slammed him in the middle
with
of
the IROC?
Yes. Of course, the IROC. Johnny Scumbani with the turquoise blue IROC. Why not? So I dragged him out of the trunk, and I body slammed him in the middle of the street, and that was Vintage yelling, you missed it! You missed it! I really should have let him go over.
There was a couple instances where that piled up. That back street. Like Jamie pulled up, like blaring his music, and JT Scuggs pulled up and like ran out of his car into a match.
Didn't Donnie, Biff Marks, go and get a crowbar to beat up Tank?
No, that was Randy. What did Randy wrestle in there?
Randy was Randy Rage. Just Randy after a while.
Yeah.
We had
Come back with a crowbar!
We had a whole MBW website. You know what? If I pull up the Wayback Machine, I might be able to pull up who was on the roster.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? Let me see if I could do that real quick. I don't know. Was there anything else we want to talk about?
Well,
there's a whole bunch more.
Well, when I when I was, you know, in my youth, I'd always keep my eyes out for, like, what could work for the Backyard Wrestling Federation. We stupidly cobbled together, and one day I'm walking, and no one's ever going to listen to this, and no one's even going to know what the hell we're talking about. But
that's all right. Keep
we're
gonna
walk
going.
Past West Orange High School, and they put in these new lights, like to light, you know, to do night football and night soccer.
Okay.
And they wrap these wrestling mats around the lights because they were on the field; they hadn't blocked them off yet. And I'm like, wrestling mats? That's perfect. I wrestle their mats. It's better than a concrete floor. I ran home. I got a razor. I sliced them off.
Oh, no.
I ran four of them back to my house. Hit them in the bushes so no one would, like, none of them, like, public works people would find them. And that's what we ended up wrestling on, was that blue and tan striped wrestling mat, which wasn't that much better than a concrete floor. We took a nice soft yard and put a rock hard mat on top of the yard. But then we were wrestling. What was that black leather mattress? Do you remember that?
Yes, it was only about half the size.
And there was a red one too. And your backyard got no shade whatsoever.
No, mine was bad.
That was horrible.
Mine was
so
bad.
So every time you took a bump on one of those mats, it was like your skin melted. But we were real serious for a time, and then it made this transition to basically everything was just a parody. Like, when did Exodus and Revelations become? What was JT's?
Exodus and Revelations came back to take on.
They became a joke, it was like a parody of, you know, that style, the luchador style.
Yeah, and
but what was JT Scuggs' luchador wrestler name?
Misamore. It was JT Scuggs, it was Revelations. It was
Exodus and Revelations were like. Totally serious.
They were.
Like deadly serious.
But then it was Misamore, and who was Misamore's partner?
Jabu. No?
No.
That was the first luchador mask.
It was Maniac's alter ego. What the fuck was his name?
Acid Burn? You don't remember Acid Burn?
No. I don't remember Acid Burn.
The origin of Acid Burn was we had an ace bandage. Matt hurt himself somehow one time, of course.
Of course.
I'm sorry, did. Maniac.
Maniac. K-Fame.
So we decided we were going to go into Blockbuster Video and wrap his head up with an ace bandage, and he's going to pretend to have burns all over his face.
Of course. Why not?
So he was just walking through Blockbuster Video with like one little hole for his eye, like screaming out how his face burns. And we decided to make him a wrestler.
I found a picture of the Sarge giving a homeless man old granddad.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that video when Sarge was running for president?
Yeah. Brain Cobb.
Well, all right. Something exists here, but I don't think we're going to be able to find everything, but whatever. We made our own belts. Actually, I made our own belts.
Out of wood.
Out of trophy wood from, like, the rag shop or Michael's.
They look good.
I liked them.
I think the world title was very impressive.
Except for when they wound up getting thrown out at Grandmaster B's house. Isn't that where they wound up in the garbage or something?
I don't know, but Grandmaster B's house was the end of the road for MBW.
Well, actually, when did we have our... The last shows that we really had that were kind of just like a shell was like at my house in Wayne. Wasn't that the last stuff we did?
No, I feel like the last stuff we did was... was it? Was
that's
it
right.
That Grandmaster B's because...
That was with Kirk.
Yeah.
Winning the title from Jamie. Winning all the titles.
Yeah.
A sign of a downhill is unifying all the belts. Although I thought it was kind of cool when JT used to come out with the hockey stick with all the belts hanging from it. I thought that was kind of a cool thing.
That's a nice touch.
For one show, he had the championship. And then we made Kirk win it. And then Kirk, for no reason, gives me the Essex County titles. And then that was
Yeah, that was the unified titles.
That was 138.
West Orange title and Verona title.
That was 138. And they had their own belts. We had a Verona belt. We had a West Orange belt. So the champion got to carry two belts.
That was the that was the Essex County champ.
Yes.
JT
if you held both belts, yes. And the origin was a la Hacksaw Jim Duggan, where Jamie lost the Verona title to the Fallen Angel, and he found the West Orange
he
title.
He kicked a garbage can over, and the West Orange title was in there.
And he yelled, I declare myself
a West Orange champion.
And you said, you can't do that. That belt means nothing. And he goes, you're just jealous because you're not the WO champion. Oh,
but
my God.
There was very little was pre-planned. Like, you just kind of went out there and just improvised everything.
Which is what made it all the fun, you know?
Yeah, because when you struck gold, in the moment it was amazing. And looking back on it, I mean, not too much holds up. But the beauty of it was you came up with that in the moment and it actually worked.
Yeah, by hook or by crook it worked. You know, right. I mean, it's in the archive machine, but it's just not coming up. I've got all that stuff archived somewhere. I'd have to post that up somewhere one day.
Where's the MBW CD? Oh, we had a CD.
We had a CD that I went... And I made the covers for, and I took it down to Staples, and I ran off like 25 of these color things, and I had Dennis, because I didn't have a CD burner. Dennis actually burned all the CDs. FFB, KFAM. Burned all these CDs at his house.
Best entrance music ever. It's FFB.
Yeah, you're right. FFB used to come out dancing to blah, 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 Do You Think I'm Sexy by Entrance.
And we still do that dance at weddings.
We did that dance at Vintage's wedding.
Maniac 2's first
wedding. It's weird saying that, but there it is. We did that at we've done that at a bunch of places. We did that at Vintage's engagement party. And I'm sure there were other things that we did it at. But we had some great music though, I think, for everybody.
My entrance theme.
Yours
was
"Got the Life," Korn.
Originally it was the back end of one of Metallica's songs, and I can't remember which. I think it might have been one, like where it speeds up at the end.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Well, Matt had the catalog of CDs and all the entrance music. Matt was always Ozzy Osbourne.
No, Matt used to use King Diamond for a while, didn't he?
In his
Maniac.
Basement. Yeah, Maniac. In the dungeon. No, was that? That was Bloody Hall. Was in the dungeon.
Bloody Hall.
My house is the dungeon. Maniac's basement was Bloody Hall.
It was Bloody Hall because it was a match that the Maniac had against Jelly Nuts,
yes.
A.K.A. the Crippler Bob Bowman, A.K.A. Matt's brother Jesse.
Yes.
In the middle of a match, Matt Maniac bends down to pick something up.
And his brother takes this hubcap, and it's just this plastic, like, we would just collect shit. Like, weapons were, like, duct taped together, game boards, cooler tops.
Yeah, your favorite weapon.
Cooler top.
The cooler top was great.
The no parking sign, where if you threw it and let go of it, it made the best noise ever.
It was like tin. My favorite was the fucking 10-gallon jug that had the hole in it.
That made a great noise.
That was a great
noise. The Vicious Vin Maniac match in the basement where that was getting kicked around was a lot of fun.
Miss lunch.
Boing. But his brother threw a hubcap at Shining Wizard Matt, a.k.a. the Maniac, a.k.a. what was his name? And
Maniac Matt Bauer.
Oh, we got to get into that. Throws it at him, not like head on, but like you would throw a fucking ninja star.
It was like a shoryuken.
Yeah, and it hit him. And the replay, it spins.
Yeah, but it spins. It doesn't spin like a frisbee. It looks like what they would call a dying duck when you punt in a football game.
It took
and it
a
just
nasty
kind of wobbled everywhere.
Spun on his
and
head.
And bang.
Instantly breaks character and reaches with both
and
hands
yells,
to the top
ow
of his head. And blood starts trickling.
And here's the worst part. This was Thanksgiving. Or was the day before Thanksgiving?
That's right.
It might have been Thanksgiving. I left work early to come join the fun, and by the time everybody
that
was
right after it.
Everybody was watching the videotape already upstairs because they ended the show. See, Owen Hart dies and WWE continues. Matt gets
a boo boo.
Matt gets it was more than a boo boo, dude. It was like a good 2 or 3 inch gash.
He probably could have got a stitch or two.
Probably.
But how many times did you watch the video afterwards with what had to be a concussion?
Which
I don't know. Like, I feel like there are so many undiagnosed injuries from that. Like,
oh, there was one time where many, many months later, we went to go check out Rip and his crew up at WLW.
Oh.
And we had like a little bit of a sparring match. You and I and the Maniac was involved. It was like 4 or 5 of us.
That was a tough ring to walk on.
Dude.
Because they super padded
it. You hit me on the head with a plank. It wasn't even like it was just a plank. My head hurt me for 2 weeks.
It's not the first time I hit someone on the head with a piece of wood. I took a little, it was like you'd call it like a dowel, like a little round thing.
Yeah.
And I was going to try to break it over Eddie's head.
Okay.
And I missed the crown of his head and hit more towards his forehead, and it just slid down his face and bounced off the top of his nose.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Now, that's not a small nose to bounce off of either.
But I think, wasn't it you that I grabbed and I just kind of threw you over my head? Like, I grabbed you around the waist and I gave you I gave you Northern Lights, but I just tossed you. It was like Taz, no bridge, all impact. And you went through the ropes out of that so-called ring.
I was not comfortable going backwards without knowing where I was going. Like, even the power bomb I took from Vintage, I hip bumped it.
I had you.
Oh, I'm sure you did, but like I'm easily the second tallest one wrestling.
Who put who through the table that time? You put Maniac through the table.
I think so.
Yeah.
But what about the slices of sheetrock held up by the two
folding chairs? Of course.
We're hardcore.
Of course.
That table wasn't cheap either.
No, and it was like a 4-foot table. It wasn't even like a full-size table.
Yeah, and we had to fucking saw underneath it because it was all metal.
Gimmick the table.
Yeah. God,
there was
stupid.
Okay, we were talking about masks. What was your favorite mask ever? And if I hope you know the answer to this. He was the Sarge's tag team partner in Wayne.
Oh, I have no idea.
Sid. Remember we had the Sid mask?
There was a Sable mask, too.
Maniac put on the Sid mask.
That was fucking hysterical.
He comes out.
Did he really get hurt?
Yes, he goes, I rule the world. I'm Sid. Now, I had a deck in this yard. Was it Eddie?
You can hear the thud.
Was it Eddie or Jesse? I'm sorry, Chris Flame or the main... Jesus. Somebody threw Sid into the deck.
And you can't see in that mask. So you couldn't judge where, like,
forehead
to fake
first.
Hit your head? No.
Forehead first. And you hear the thud and you hear, oh... And Sid falls down, and he grabs his face, and you hear, I really hit my head. And the best part was, while he's on the ground, Jelly Nuts comes over and grabs him by the face, and the face just stretches, and he rolls him over and pins him.
I really hit my head.
We actually made a PSA out of that at the end of the show. And we put the WrestleMania theme behind it.
Oh, my God.
That was good times. I think the worst injury you knew that I wasn't privy to was Fat Albert Potts getting hit in the face with the Pictionary box.
Oh, yeah. We put like a Band-Aid over his nose or something.
I thought he went home crying.
Yeah, but he came back.
They always come back.
Fat little kid.
It's like facial abuse.
The worst looking bump is got to be Redheaded Stepchild spin-kicking Keith.
No, it wasn't Keith. It was Biff Marks, Donnie.
Was it?
That was Bloody Hall. That was the same night. He wrestled Biff Marks.
We had a friend, Keith. He had like a lazy eye.
Of course he did.
And someone kicked him right in the head.
And it straightened his eye out.
No, he was like, oh, I can't see out of my eye. And everyone lost it. Everyone, you had to like bury your head in the corner and laugh about it.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Oh, man. And then we went from having fun in a backyard to, why did we go to Carmine's?
I wasn't around for Carmine's. Carmine's was before the MBW.
Really?
Yeah, Carmine's was at some point when you guys were still doing
the basement
stuff.
Well, that was Vintage's fault.
Okay.
Because Carmine really was doing shows at the time, or no?
He may have been
He was doing shows with the Jax wrestlers.
He might have been doing SSCW, as far as I remember, probably started in 97, maybe before I got involved. I know my first show was October of 98. That was my only show with Carmine. Yeah, that was the only time I ever worked for him. But that wasn't in Carmine Pro Wrestling in a mirrored room in his house. That was in a real ring.
Of course it was CPW. Of course it was Carmine Pro
Carmine
Wrestling.
I thought it was Championship Pro Wrestling, but you guys called it. It was Carmine Pro Wrestling. So how did you guys get involved in that? I mean, we don't have to get into the whole thing.
Well,
but
Vintage goes, oh, you want to wrestle? Because I forget, like, something happened. Like,
how does he know Carmine?
I don't remember.
All right, well, you guys were in basements at that point. You didn't have Adam's backyard, which was, like, probably the best place to wrestle.
No, because we would have kept wrestling there.
Hands down, that had to be the best location for
MBW. It would look landscaped.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was tailor-made for us.
It had like an upper deck that you could jump off of.
It had the ropes that we could bounce off of.
The bushes where there was poo and Revelations stepped in the dog shit.
Yes. I remember.
Revelations had great music too, by the way. It used to come out the Backstreet's Back.
Yes.
Oh, that whole dance routine.
I remember Artificial Flowers.
Artificial Flowers. Who was Misa Mori's? The God of War. That was it. It was the God of War, Misa Mori, against Revelations and Exodus.
Exodus brought
dead mice to the ring.
Yes.
We have footage of the dead mice playing on the West Orange title.
He won.
No, they were the tag
dead
team
mouse.
Champs.
Yeah, the dead mouse won the title.
Probably, yeah. Remember, Revelations lost to the mouse and became
the jobber title. The jobber you could title. Only win it by losing?
Yes, you had to lose. So Revelations would lose every match, and he thought it was great because he was still the champ.
God, that was so much fun.
Misa Mori came out to Karamiya. That actually made the wrestling album, the MBW wrestling album. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. We had some good music for that shit, too.
I always thought Maniac was... Well, no, it turned to Rock You Like a Hurricane.
That was when they were the Maniacs.
Yes.
No, that was specifically Yoshimitsu's music.
Oh, I thought it was the Maniacs.
No, I think it was Yoshimitsu's.
I was Got the Life. I stuck with that for a while.
Got the Life, yeah. Well, Johnny Scumbani had Fuck You in the Ass.
Da-dun-dun-dun.
A fucking fat Italian fucking greaseball coming to the ring wanting to fuck people in the ass.
That would be the greatest UFC entrance music ever.
Yes.
I came up with this the other day. I was talking to Shining Wizards Matt. I was like, you guys should talk about if you're doing backyard wrestling now and you have to pick entrance music, it has to be the song that was number one on the Billboard Top 100 on the day you were born. And mine would be Betty Davis Eyes.
That would fit you, though.
Yeah.
That would fit you.
I was trying to look up yours, but I couldn't. I can't get the 1974, you old man.
Yeah, I'm old. Relax. Jesus Christ.
God, 40 next
1974
year?
Top 100? Top 40. Yeah.
No, top one. Well, top 40, top 100, whatever.
I could do the top 40 for the week I was born, right? Oh, here, the American Top 40 year-end survey. Oh my God! Wait, you're talking about for the whole year?
No, just when you were born. Bowman's is okay. Shining Wizard's math is the day he was born was Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
That's awesome. No, the year for the entire year of 1974 is Barbra Streisand, The Way We Were.
That might be when you just look, just click on the link, see if it comes up.
Yeah, but what? How do you get? But the year, like, is it by? Does it
well,
give?
Well,
this
you, is how it came up on.
But does it give you by week? Like, can I look up?
If you go Wikipedia, list of Billboard Hot, and you can play at home, folks. If you go to list of Billboard Hot 100 number one singles of, and then type in the year, it'll list all the songs and the date it changed. Okay. So, for instance, the year started with Starting Over by John Lennon in 1981.
Okay.
I missed out on Morning Train 9 to 5 by like 7 days.
That's funny. And you can't get my year? Because I'm trying to pull it up. I don't want to waste time doing this.
Yeah, whatever.
List of Hot 100 singles. Here we go. 1974. Okay, the week I was born, Hooked on a Feeling, Boo Suede, April 6th. That's the day after
that
I was born.
That would be awesome.
Ooga Shaka.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God. That works. I like that game. Oh,
you
wow.
got to get people to play it on Facebook. Like, what would be your entrance music?
I missed Benny and the Jets.
I still think
I was sandwiched between Sunshine on My Shoulders by John Denver and Benny and the Jets. Benny!
Sunshine. It's like Desperado for Terry Funk, Sunshine on My Shoulders.
Some people don't like Terry Funk around here. They're not here.
Because Eddie isn't here.
It's actually Matt.
Adam isn't here. Terry Funk.
Well, Adam's no longer with us. Poor Chaos. I went to visit him in the hospital in his last days, too, man. That was rough. I missed that dude.
What about I miss his backyard?
Well, he was all right. Like he was always
up for a power bomb.
Yes, and he was fun. Him and Jelly Nuts. What was their name? Did they have a tag team name?
They had to have.
I don't remember it. They won the tag team tournament, the MBW tag team tournament. And then Adam couldn't be here, and they lost to Exodus and Revelations. And then Chris Flame became Jelly Nuts' tag team partner, and the rest is history.
Yes. Because Adam isn't here. The Randy Jabu matches had to be the most hysterical. Because Randy really wanted to kill it. He wanted to like light him on fire.
He tried to light him on fire. He brought a jar of ragu and he threw the ragu at him. For what reason, I don't know. Yeah, what would make him think it was a good idea to light him on fire?
I don't. But he brought like
box cutters. He really wanted to cut him.
He brought like motor oil.
Like honestly,
from his trunk.
That shit made me nervous. Like Randy, like I like Randy, but that shit.
No, Randy was our Brian Pillman.
Randy was really fucked up.
Randy was our loose cannon.
Randy was really and fucking Bowman thought it'd be Matt thought it would be a great idea to make him the champion. He's like, yeah, why not win it?
I'm pretty sure I voted against that.
You didn't. He just did it during their match. He's like, fuck this, you're going over. Which is pretty amazing. I don't know.
Considering it was
fucking nuts. Who else? Was there anybody else that we're forgetting?
There's the Persian carpet layers.
The Persian carpet layers. I don't know if they had individual names, but I'll tell you one thing. Those guys
I'm
on
pretty sure it was Frank Hogan.
Was it Frank Hogan?
Yeah.
Those guys were hilarious on commentary. I would have fucking put them on more matches. They were singing the thong song in character.
There's heavy traffic. There's
heavy traffic. Gridlock and rubberneck. That was it. Gridlock and rubberneck, not roadblock.
I think
gridlock.
Jamie had the most characters.
They
JT.
Came out to Come On, Ride the Train.
I really hit my head,
dude. They were just supposed to job to the Maniacs. That turned into a 20-minute free for all. Poor fucking rubberneck had welt marks on his back.
There was FFB and another one of your family members that wrestled with us.
Oh, Don Cheech. Don Cheech with his Hungry for Love underwear.
Jesse Riker.
Two Tits Kenny.
Jesse Riker was by far the most hated
Yeah, I don't know
wrestler.
Why, dude. I always liked
annoying.
Jesse. I know he was annoying, but I kind of took... Did Rip ever wrestle for MBW? I don't think so.
I think he was part of Eddie's entourage at some point.
No, Eddie brought in some gentleman of color that everyone had to make comments on, which led to your brother's genius comment that when somebody was like, there's black people in MBW, and your brother in the background, you hear him go, Scumbani's part black. Which I always found hilarious. I was like, what a fucking
I never
asshole.
Picked up on that.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great. He brought those guys in, and then that was when the cops showed
Jay
up,
Markowitz.
Ironically.
Well, because we blocked someone's driveway.
Jay Markowitz wrestled?
Yeah, he had the cane. They all wrestled hungover.
That was Jay Markowitz in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I talked to him last week.
Yeah.
He was pissed off. He said the Illuminati was involved with with the people at the fucking MTV Awards. Or Miley Cyrus specifically and Lady Gaga. Sorry, Lady Gaga.
What would your entrance music be today if you had to pick it?
Probably fucking...
I want to fuck you in the ass.
You know what? I think I would have to stay with that. The classics never die.
Really?
That was a great song. Oh, wait, you mean modern? Like shit right now?
Yeah.
It would definitely not be Gangnam Style. That would...
That might be Revelations.
I might come out... I like Paralyzer. I like Gimme More, Britney Spears. I might come out to the mashup Party and Bullshit in the USA. Biggie Smalls and Miley Cyrus.
I think I would come out to, if I had to do it all over again, and it's not really modern, I don't know why I posed it that way, but I would come out to Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
I thought I remember somebody coming out to that.
I don't know, but I thought that's the best UFC entrance music of all time, if you get that.
Wait, who came out to that?
No one, that's just my idea.
Oh.
Just the idea, man.
I thought
the entire time
that happened at some point.
No.
I don't know what I would go with. I used Hellraiser by Motorhead one time, and everybody crucified me for it and started going, ba-dum-bum-bum, ba-dum-bum-bum.
You can't go from the best entrance music of all time to anything else.
Yeah, well, I mean, FFB had the best entrance music.
He had the best dance.
You think Fuck You in the Ass was the best music?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody introduced me to that song, and I just ran with it. Like, I happened to find out about that song like a month or two before... We started, like, before I joined the backyard. I'm like, I have to run with this.
It was on some commercial.
Yeah, it was a commercial for, like, a driving...
Yeah, Learn English.
Yeah, Learning English. I think it was from Sweden or some shit. Yeah. The fucking family's bobbing their heads in the car listening to it. That's great stuff. But we digress.
Yeah.
So...
There's always talk about doing it again.
Yeah, I know. That happens every once in a while. Matt was serious about it a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah, remember we were going to all get together and find a yard to do it in?
Did you ever hear the story about Eddie in the ring?
Eddie always wants to buy a ring.
Yeah, he has always wanted to buy a ring.
Did you hear his story about him and his dad?
That's the story.
Okay, yeah, he told that on the show.
Like, yeah, his dad's like, I'll help you buy a ring. And he's like, oh, man, that's so great. He's like, what kind of ring do you think Karen would like? And then he's like, oh, no, okay. No.
I'll be forgetting Obama that one, boss.
But the most amazing thing to me is that no one got really, Adam died, but.
If I had the room.
Kirk.
If I had the room for a ring, I would definitely put one in.
You have a room back there.
In the yard to leave it out in the winter and shit.
Well, get a cover. Get a bunch of grill covers. And
yeah, but if I put that up, then there goes my yard. You know, like.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so used right now.
No, we kind of use it. My kid runs around the yard a lot. No, seriously.
So
we
put
do.
A ring back there. You can do bumps.
I got to fix the hot tub. I tried filling it up. I found out one of the motors is kind of like, I think there's a leak in one of the hoses.
Is it a hot tub time machine?
Yes. We're going to go back in time.
Like this podcast was a time machine?
Actually, this is a lot of fun.
What are we running at?
We're at 58 minutes right now.
Oh, okay. We still got time.
Yeah, we got some time if you want to keep going.
Make it seem like I'm the only one who wants to.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just a
very specific topic.
No, kayfabe bullshit going on around here today. Back, considering we're taking it back to the old school, like the old original podcast where my kid would be yelling for 3 hours.
You never heard him, though.
No, you heard him.
No, you guys reacted to it. No one else would have noticed.
Nah, you can hear it in some of them. You really can. My ear must be attuned to it, you know?
I think you're sensitive to it.
I kind of am. So, Carmine Pro Wrestling. So, Anthony met Carmine.
Well, we had that was the first real belt because we bought a belt and we were making people pay dues. It was like $20 a month. And
$20?
I was like the guy.
Like, it's like this podcast.
I was like, I don't care. Is that why Eddie isn't here? So I was the guy who had
Chris
to go Lim. Around to everyone.
K-fabe.
Chris Lim, K-fabe. So I had to go around. I miss him. So I had to go around and collect the money from people and be like, and I gave like the speech from Goodfellas, like if you can't make it here, fuck you, I don't care. Pay me $20. If lightning strikes your fucking house, I don't care. Fuck you.
Please tell me somebody recorded this.
There's very little footage of that.
All I remember is you being a tough guy with a rapier, threatening Jamie to collect fucking money on that TV project he did for Willie P. Where you were like, I don't deal in supposed to's. I deal in dozens. And you're holding him up with a fucking sword.
Another improv. Like, nothing was ever planned. But
I liked when JT used to go do those TV things. I did the disgruntled Detroit Lions fan, where I sat there with a Detroit Lions jersey on with a bag over my head. And he had to interview me all seriously.
Shining Wizards Matt did Don't Run with Scissors.
Yeah, and who did
We filmed it in the West Orange High School TV studio.
Wait, no, don't.
And Matt was running with scissors next to his eyeball, and we told him fall down, but when you fall down, move the scissor. Well, Matt falls down, and then he rolls over, and there's a cut a millimeter away from his eyeball, like on the eye socket.
Maniac's and I'm like, an idiot.
You are a fucking moron.
He's a fucking moron.
The PSA was literally about not running with scissors.
Well, then again, if you know the show, you all knew that anyway.
Yeah, it comes as no surprise.
But no, I remember when it was Frank Hogan and the Maniac and JT Scuggs. There might have been somebody else. Oh, you did that too, filming the
outside, inside, inside, outside.
The shuffleboard team for William Patterson. You guys want to play shuffleboard? We got a stick in a can. Filming it in the fucking parking lot. The best was when fucking Frank gets pissed off and he just throws the can. He's like, "Hooray, we got a fucking can." That was good stuff.
Yeah, Eddie got us into all the videotaping everything. And Eddie videotaped everything.
And we'll leave it at that. So Carmine. So you're paying dues. You had a belt. How does that connect you to Carmine? Well, was Carmine paying dues? Like, how did...
Well, he was like the commissioner or whatever. But we did it in his
basement.
But
he knew Anthony. And Anthony was like, hey, come wrestle at this guy's house.
And that's where Vicious Vin came into it, really.
Because Vinny was like practically neighbors with Carmine.
And I guess that's how...
Vicious Vin was another semi-character.
Well, he was probably... Vicious Vin was probably the most successful of all you guys on the independent circuit.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Grandmaster B is still writing his ticket right now with the Fallen Angels, so... I mean, Vin's been out of the business for a couple of years. But, I mean, he's still involved. Isn't he the commissioner of Blow now? Bombshells?
If anyone would be...
I thought, for some reason, I don't know if this is fact, but I thought he was involved with that offshoot of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, the ladies group, that he might be the commissioner now. I'm not sure. I thought that's what I had heard. But
anyone go to that?
Yeah, they sell tickets for that.
Really?
Yeah. It's not as successful as PWS, mind you, but they sell tickets for that.
So it's like the Divas.
There's a lot of creepers out there that love going to that shit. Dennis and I, FFB, kayfabe, went to a show in... I can't even remember where, but yeah, we met all those guys that go to these shows all the time, and they just pop up.
Like Clark.
Clark is weird because Clark hates women. He wants to kill women, but yeah, it's kind of like that. So anyway, so you guys are wrestling in Carmine's house.
You keep going back to Carmine.
Oh no, I just want to know if there's anything else.
Well, we got super serious there, and everyone was Shining Wizards Matt had to wear a hockey mask.
To keep from laughing.
To keep from smiling, and that's where the hockey mask came into it.
Okay.
And he had to be, he couldn't be the Maniac.
He'd be Maniac Matt Bauer.
He'd be Maniac Matt Bauer. I was Dangerous Dave Mallory.
And Luscious Lance Sandler. Was Randy involved in this?
I think so, yeah. Vintage was Snake Eyes.
I only remember ever seeing like a little bit of this. And what's his name used to come out to Machine Head? Carmine. Dude, he was such a
weasel.
I
came out to Fuel. By Metallica.
That's a good song. Yeah. But Carmine just, like, when I saw him in the video, like, he was very stiff, very, like, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he loved chopping people.
He was the boss. No, like, he was just, like, the way he acted, like kind of like the boss, but he, like, was just straight-faced and, like, no emotion.
Well, that's how everything had to be.
So what led to you guys not being involved with that anymore?
Because it fucking sucked. I think we did it, like, 3 times.
And then what happened? Like,
Well, we were sold on it as it being, like, the greatest place to wrestle and the most fun to do. And we went there, and it was just misery incarnate. Like, I probably went there 5 times. And he, like, had his Jax wrestling ring set up and, like, notepads full of results. And at the time, he was talking about booking Bret Hart for a show.
Yeah, and which he did eventually. And then he wanted Vin to drive Bret Hart to his house. So we talked about that. And I think the 2.5 boys talked about that too. Just like fucking Carmine's nuts.
And we got out of there, and instead of being miserable the whole time, we decided, fuck this, we're gonna have fun.
So you took your belt and ran, or your ball, or whatever.
I think we kept that belt, yeah.
Yeah, you did. That became the jobber belt, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mouse won that one.
The mouse. The fucking mouse. So we wound up, yeah, we went to Adam's.
It was a shitty tiny belt, too.
Yeah, it was like one of those like fucking back of the wrestling magazine $80 like karate belts.
I was
going to
say, where did you get that PWI?
It was like a trophy belt, really. It had like two pieces of wheat, one on each side, and like a medallion with like, I think, a kickboxer on it, didn't it?
Yes.
It was something like that.
He's kicking someone in the head.
And it had a real buckle on the back, like 60s NWA championship style.
And then people would try to swing that as a weapon.
Which would be the fucking smartest idea in
the
world.
Guys, no.
At least my belt had Velcro.
You could wear your belt.
It was adjustable.
You could easily put it on and off.
Anybody could have fucking wore that belt.
Except Kirk. I don't think it would fit Kirk. Did it fit you?
Yeah, it fit me. I made it. Of course it fit me. What do you think? I'm stupid? Look at how nice it looks on my waist.
Oh, I guess we have to give it to Tony. Yeah. We have to put it on him. He built it.
I didn't have it so long, though. Because then I lost it to fucking Jelly Nuts, who wasn't even in that match.
How did it? I remember we had the NWA replica, like, foil belt. That was like the JWA title. I mean, like, three of those. It was, like, plastic.
Yeah.
And it was, we put the title on Bob Bowman for that. Like, when he was, like, 11.
And he had his chiclet teeth.
Like, it was like, that was my idea. I'm like, we should put the title on him so that everyone will think that anyone could win the title at any time.
Yeah.
Any of the five people that are in the basement wrestling with us that watch the video will think.
Fucking morons we were.
He was our 1-2-3 kid. Why don't we do it anymore, Tony?
Because we're fucking adults and we don't want to fucking
be
hurt.
Match someone breaks a leg, right?
I think you said it. You're like, it's over. I just don't want to get hurt. That's it. I think that was you that said that. It kind of fell by the wayside. I mean, people were moving on. You guys were graduating high school. And I don't know. We just kind of fell out of it. It became, I think we lost the rights to Adam's Yard, didn't we? Like, we couldn't go back there anymore.
Well, he was still around.
We the only reason we were at Bum's house for a while was because nobody was living there. And then that turned into a...
No, everyone was living there. That was the problem.
But, yeah, it turned into a flop house after a while. And we couldn't have anything there anymore. And then didn't they gut the house? They brought in a dumpster and just started throwing everything out?
Oh, I don't remember. Is that where your belts went to?
I think so. I think I salvaged a few of them. I don't know whatever happened to that belt that I made. I wonder if somebody has it somewhere.
Somewhere.
I actually
Triple H has it somewhere.
I actually have belts that I made that we never used that are still in the back room here.
Really?
If you want, I can go get them and show them to you.
I want to see one.
All right. So
for MBW?
Yeah, they were for MBW. Talk to the people for a minute. Seriously, I'll let it run.
You're going to let it run?
Yeah, why not?
I don't think I have anything to say to anyone.
Yes, you do.
Let me see. What do I have to say? We always tried to have girl valets, and that never worked out well. Because girls weren't really interested in guys who did backyard wrestling. Somehow Tony Z got married, and we got... Of course, we were the wrestling crew that got put... Holy shit! That got put back by the toilet.
Yeah,
talking about
that.
Your wedding.
Okay. So that would have been the Essex County belt, and this would have been the world title. The belts that never saw the light of day. I feel like Dave Millican.
You should leave these out.
Yeah.
They're on legitimate... Are these faux like leather?
They're like old WWF straps.
Yeah, what did
like
you take off of these? Belts.
I had bought them online when people still weren't collecting them. And I paid like $10 for the straps.
Really?
With snaps, yeah. So that, I mean, the MBW one just has a big MBW letters on it. I like this one because I kind of fancied up... The fences, on the side.
You should put like red on them, like blood.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but then it never went anywhere, and we just stopped doing it. You know, maybe I'll take pictures of the belts and I'll put them up on Facebook.
I think you should. I think you should put these up on eBay.
Actually, I had other belts that I made, but I sold them all off, and I kept these. And I actually got almost like $100 for each of them. People like them, dude. Yeah.
I think I still do prefer the design of the original.
Oh, the original, yeah. But if you notice, it's this plate turned sideways.
Right. Well, I think that's what I liked about it. You could have gone bigger. They're very similar.
Yeah, but the Essex County is a smaller belt because it's a smaller championship. It's like a regional title. But enough about the belts. People can't see the belts. Jesus Christ.
I like talking about visual things on an audio medium.
An audio podcast.
Yes.
Which is why people love Pro Wrestling 101 so much, because I just take the audio from Just Incredible Show and that's it. Use the audio.
How's the network going?
It's doing okay. It's not shattering any records, but
it's not like charting like the Shining Wizards did when they first started.
No, and even the Shining Wizards kind of fell off. Like, we leveled out. I think we need to bring some more big name guests back to the show. It seemed like when we were on a streak for a while.
Try to get them to quote.
We had like big names on the show. We had Jerry Lynn, Shane Douglas, Rob Van Dam,
the
Buff
Kid,
Bagwell,
Johnny
the Kid.
Scumani.
Well, the Kid's always on the show, so that's yeah. You know, what am I talking about? It's not my show. I'm Johnny Scumani.
That's right.
So before we park this fucking bus and everybody's going to get aggravated that we talked about backyard wrestling.
This is the happiest I've been.
Me too. Me too. This was great. This was great. I'm sorry I made you wait for fucking 2 hours watching TV down here.
It's okay.
But
I'm just mad Totally Divas wasn't on.
Anything we need to say about MBW other than it was probably like the most fun I had for those couple of years that I was involved. It was to me like kids getting together and playing football on a Saturday. That's what we did. And for a while, we were doing it like every other weekend. You know? We were running more than ECW was at the ECW arena. We had crowds. We had music. We had production. Like, we didn't have a fucking...
Definitely had production.
Well, we had music. And we had
animals.
We had... Eddie, Shining Wizard Eddie, a.k.a. Chris Flame, kayfabe, put together like a lot of the stuff. I tried it myself, but the audio fell like a second behind. So you'd see somebody slap a mat, and then you'd hear one while they're counting two. I tried. What are you going to do?
Yeah, a lot of that has to go to Eddie, because Eddie would get inspired. I'm sorry, Chris Flame.
Kayfabe.
He would get inspired in spurts and put together like a really good montage of matches, and then he would just let others just let it run.
Two examples. We had an MBW documentary that told the story for the first 5 minutes and said, the MBW has been around for a long time. Here's some other clips.
And then it was just old.
It was just everything.
Nonsense.
And,
but then his editing would slack off and it would just be the, you know, unedited feed of a match in my basement from 15 years ago. And it's just like, why?
Well, I think my favorite was the tag tournament went on forever. So we got all of the first and second round matches in their entirety. And then the finals of the tag team tournament was clipped to 30 seconds with with Man in the Box in the background. What are you going to do, man? That's what gives it its charm. I love watching that old shit.
And then like, oh yeah, let's get the VCR out. Let's watch it. Let's watch MBW. Let's watch MBW. And they'll sit there and watch it. And the people that didn't do it are like,
yeah,
what the fuck are we watching?
Well, like my wife, my girlfriend, fiance at the time used to come hang out at the Maniac's house. And then we put on MBW and she would just fall asleep, which happened to a lot of people. Oh my God. Speaking of Bowman's house. Do you remember the time I was burping and it smelled so bad Jamie puked on fucking Matt's bed? Do you remember that?
No.
Oh my, I was just sitting there. I was just like, bruh. Jamie goes, fucking stop. Really, fucking stop. I just threw up. I was like, bruh. I used to love making Jamie nauseous. The time we went for ice cream and I was trying to make myself throw the ice cream up and Jamie was like, stop. Just fucking stop.
Everything's a bad idea around Jamie until Jamie does it.
Yeah, and then it's the greatest thing ever. Yeah. Like putting submissions on people.
Oh, God.
All right, we're kind of repeating. I really don't have anything else, kid.
Yeah, if we had more people here from the MBW that, you know, that were on the regular podcast,
they probably would not
show up.
They probably would not want to sit here and tell us, no, we're not talking about MBW, so I'm kind of glad they didn't show up. Maybe it'll give them motivation to show up next week.
Yeah, because if they don't show up next week, guess what?
MBW
all over. MBW too.
You could just see the fucking ratings dive bombing.
Well, it's not. This isn't a podcast for the average listener. Well, Daniel look. Antonio Lopez, if you made it this far, I'll buy you a t-shirt. Any t-shirt you want. Pick
we
it off.
We sent him to WrestleMania.
Take it off of barbershopwindow.com. Pick any one and I'll
no,
buy it.
No, fuck that.
You.
Buy him one of our shirts when they come out.
No, you're going to give him one.
For what?
I don't fucking know.
No, you give him one of
ours. So you're getting new merch?
Yeah, I think we're actually going to go with the blue and whites, the white on blue, as opposed to the yellow on red.
Okay, so Eddie complained about both of them.
No, I thought, liked the red and yellow. Whatever.
Well, it's either Hulkamania or BWO, he said.
No, it's either Hulkamania or Rip. Ah, how's that for a reference? No holds barred?
No, I get it.
Okay. You're just looking at me like you thought I was talking about someone else.
No, I thought you were talking about Rip.
Rip.
Yeah.
The movie.
No.
The legend.
No.
The man.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Shaky D.
Shh, stop. Kayfabe. What's wrong with you? You guys are idiots.
Right. Do you have any shows to plug coming up?
No, I guess we might as well plug the network. You guys know the shows, Neckbreaker, Just Incredibles, Pro Wrestling 101, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Our Show, The Fallen Angels. Who did I miss? I missed somebody.
Isn't Incredible have something on here?
Yeah, Pro Wrestling 101. Who the fuck did I miss? I have to look at the board. Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Shining Wizards, Midnight Jury. That was it. We were just talking about Dennis. I'm sorry, Mike Norenganger and Adam Henning. Dan Lopez, Handsome Dan's Last Word. The Nerd Herders, we haven't plugged in a while. Those guys, AngryMarks.com. I don't know. Is there anything you want to plug?
No.
No, okay.
Just the, what's her name, the redhead on Totally Divas. I'm going to plug her vagina with my penis.
Great. We needed to know that. Thank you. Johnny Scumbani.
I'm Kid Carmichael.
Was that one of your names, too?
No, that was a name they made up because Carmichael was a character I played in a play in high school.
Carmichael.
So every show I did in high school, everyone would make fun of me at wrestling.
That's a great story.
Because that's not gayer than singing in a wrestling, hugging a bunch of men.
Because Adam isn't here.
Wearing a wrestling mask isn't gayer than singing in a high school play.
Okay, pick a song from the MBW album. I'm going to close the show out with it. Any song you want.
It's got to be FFBs.
That's not a bad idea. Good night, everyone. Eat my ass.
Concrete kayfabe.
On the concrete floor.
You know that I be sexy.
In the house to make the party wild, it's the new dancing on the smash, so let me set it. See how we rolling, that's the air cool aesthetic. Group heads, they all wanna do mad. Sipping my way every day, popping coochies. Bring that booty over here, girl. See, I've been watching that for years, girl. And if you want sugar, you won't regret it. Your mama made ya, I wanna sweat it. I see you in this party, cool with everybody, but my body wanna push up on your body. Big Poppy, gang with Ultra Noppy, one whiff of the somebody stop me. Cause if it going down like this, when I flexy, let me know if my flow be sexy. Sing it!
Everybody in the place, put those hands in the air. Yeah, check it out one time. You know it's for real. Then trash with you all on your set. Getting biz, come on. Nah, 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 nah. See, you know that it's sexy. In the suits, you know what I'm saying? Because they ain't got it going on this year. Because they ain't sexy at all.